Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Most blessed Father, we ask that you grant us peace of mind when we do what is right in the face of adversity. We ask that you give us clarity of vision in the darkest of times. We ask that you teach us to love one another as your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, did, and that our very natures change to that which is loving and caring. All of this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters, what is Christmas? Yes, it's December 25th. Yes, it's a time to give and receive presents. Yes, it's a time in which the kids and the grandkids hustle and bustle and wake us up in the morning. The earliest they've ever gotten up. Actually awake, happy, and joyous. Because they got gifts. But what else is it? It's a time of God showing that he loves us and his love for us. We all know that on this day, over 2,000 years ago, our Lord and Savior was born. And because of his birth into the world, we were given a second chance at redemption and reconciliation. Jesus was born so that we can be reunited with God through the ultimate of sacrifices. His own life that was offered up on Calvary. But I'm getting ahead of myself, because that's about the death of an adult Jesus. And Christmas is about the birth of a baby Jesus. Instead of telling you all about the great, wonderful, and glorious things that Jesus gave to us by being born and then eventually dying, I want to do something a little different on this special day. I want to tell y'all about a movie that I saw recently, and it's going to set up the scenario for y'all to think about the season based upon that. So let's try it. Some of y'all might remember a movie that came out in 1946. And it comes on TV every now and again around Christmas time. And it's called It's a Wonderful Life. Now, with a show of hands up in here, how many of y'all actually seen or at least remember this movie? Okay, so I'm not the only old person up in here. Oh, I'm sorry. Seasoned person here. Seasoned. For the season. I like the movie. But it's a sad movie. Almost from the very beginning to the end. Now, Christmas is a joyous time, but it's a sad movie. For some of y'all who haven't seen it lately, I'm going to give y'all a little recap. It's about the life of a person whose name is George Bailey. Through a series of unfortunate events, George is placed in a situation where he might go to jail and lose the family business. He accidentally lashes out at his wife, his kids, his people that he's known for years because of that frustration. With all of these things hitting him left and right and at the same time and not seeming to have an end, George thinks about ending it all. And he's running through town and he crashes into a tree in his car and he's going across a bridge. And he's thinking about jumping off the bridge and committing suicide. So just when he's about to climb up it, There's a splash, and somebody's in the water screaming, "Help me, help me." So without a thought, George jumps into the river to save this man, because that's the kind of guy George is. It turns out that the person that he saves is an angel, and the angel's name is Clarence. You see, Clarence was sent there to help George. And he decided the best way to help him was to show him what life would be like if he had never been born, if he had never existed. This was to show George a few things, but mostly to show George how important he was in the lives of other people. If I said that George was shocked as he walked around town and spoke to people, I'd be putting it very lightly. Now picture this. No one knew George. Not any of the people that he had helped. Not the woman that was his wife. Not any of the other people that he loved. Not even his mother who had birthed him. No one knew who he was. As we watch the movie, we realize just how much of an impact this one man had on the lives of the people who lived in the town of Bedford Falls. Now, one specific line that I liked about the movie was when Clarence said, "Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he?" Now, after seeing this movie again, I realized that George wasn't an island unto himself, meaning he wasn't by and about himself. When Clarence took him out of the picture, a lot of things changed other than people not knowing him. The town that he had spent all of his life trying to make a better place became destitute. The town that he had spent all of his life growing up in, up until his adulthood, became a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah, with bars, clubs, places that actually had signs that say, "Fight." And it wasn't the wholesome town that he was accustomed to. It wasn't a place that he had helped build. George was a person that was influential. He spent his whole life up until his non-existence helping people, and then poof, he didn't exist anymore. And things changed, not for the better, but for the worse. You see, the same applies to us. We touch so many lives in the course of a day. If I said that each and every one of y'all, when you step out into the street, touch at least 10 lives, that would seem like a lot, right? Now let's work out some of the numbers based upon those 10 people. There are 365 days in a year, not including leap year. So going with our original 10, we touch 3,650 lives in a year. These are people's lives now. Let's say that we're all 60 years old. I looked for a round number. 60 just popped into my head. That's 3,650 lives times 60, which is 219,000 in the course of 60 years. That's how many lives we have touched in those 60 years. And that's not counting how many lives those people touch. Now let's replace George Bailey with Jesus. Let's replace Bedford Falls with Bethlehem. I'm hoping y'all can see where I'm going with this now. What if Jesus made a different choice in his life after he was born? What if once he started to go through the trials and tribulations and all the trouble that waking up in the world brought and dropped unceremoniously on his lap? What if he decided that he wasn't going to deal with it? Better yet, taking It's a Wonderful Life into effect. What would the world be like if Jesus hadn't been born? What would we have lost? The first thing that we would lose would be salvation. There wouldn't be any of it. There'd be no reconciliation with the Father. You see, we're full of sin. And it wasn't something then, and it isn't something now. That's just going to disappear on its own. It put a wall between us and God the Father, who loves us. And that wall is insurmountable on our own. Romans 10:9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Belief in Jesus offers us salvation. His life, his death, was that much needed key to that locked door of salvation. Amen? After Jesus was born, an angel appeared to a group of shepherds near Bethlehem. And he said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Luke 2:10 through 11. Salvation comes from and through belief in Jesus. And that is something that since Jesus wouldn't have been born, we wouldn't have. The second thing that we would lose is our intercessor. If Jesus had never been born, there would be no mediator between God and man. John 14:6 tells us that no man cometh unto the Father except by Jesus Christ. With Jesus' death, the barrier between God and man was finally able to be overcome. The death of Jesus was the key to unlock the door to salvation for all who had believed in him and who believe in him now. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us that for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Without Jesus being our intercessor, our mediator, our intermediary, we were destined to spend a life in darkness, forever separated by sin from the Father. But we're lucky because on that fateful night in the town of Bethlehem, the light of the world was made flesh. His light shined through the darkness. The darkness that couldn't comprehend it, as you heard me just say. And because it became that beacon of light in order to guide us to the path that we needed to follow for salvation. The third thing that we would lose would be our access to the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he provides mankind. If Jesus hadn't been born, died, and ascended to heaven, then the way wouldn't have been prepared for the coming of the Comforter. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have come in order to fill us with the Spirit of love and all of the gifts that the Spirit offers us in order to make us productive in the life that God the Father has given us. Amen? Amen? These are gifts that we don't necessarily take advantage of, but they are ours. They are wrapped under the tree, waiting for us to unwrap them. We wouldn't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit to guide us through all the trials and tribulations that were in the world, both then and now. because the Comforter wouldn't come. We would only have the darkness of dread that comes from gray skies and gloomy lives. If Jesus had never been born, we would have no salvation from sin and no mediator between God, the Father, and us. If Jesus hadn't been born and eventually died, you and I wouldn't have access to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. If Jesus hadn't been born, then we wouldn't have access to be able to be that one step closer to being godly in spirit. The fourth reason that Jesus had to be born was because we needed a redeemer. The Bible has shown time and time again that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. With his birth and eventual death, the stain of original sin had been removed from our lives. Since the price of sin is death, then redemption required that price to be paid in full by his death. And it was. On that day, it was paid in blood. Amen? We need to thank God because through the birth of Jesus, we were given a second chance to be in reunion or restart, renew our union with God. Through the birth, the life, and the death of Jesus Christ, all things are now possible and available to us once again. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been given a chance to be with God again. Amen? To me, I believe that the greatest gift, the greatest Christmas gift that we have received was that birth over 2,000 years ago. I want y'all to take a moment, and we're going to do that thing again. I want y'all to repeat after me. Thank you, Jesus. I don't hear it. For all that you have given me by being born in the flesh. Amen. I don't think that anyone could ever begin to fathom how good a life we have. And until we take a moment to think about how much more difficult, how much darker, how much more disappointing it would have been without Jesus. Without Jesus in the world and in our lives. I can only imagine how difficult it would have been for people to have hope. How difficult it would have been for people to be in fellowship with God again. And definitely how hard it would be for them to be free from a life that was broken by sin. But, all of this is a scary fantasy because our Lord and Savior, Jesus, was born on that fateful night. And with him, the promise of salvation from God, the Father, to all who believe in him is available to us. And it has been available to us. That's the greatest gift that was given that night to everyone. My brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that on this glorious day of our Lord's birth, you and all the other lives that you touch, and that touch yours, will be filled with thanks for all that was given to us on this day over 2,000 years ago because of that birth on that faithful night under that bright, bright star. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.